The referee said it wasn't blown because we put their guy into Scott. I said, I don't give a shit. He's hurt. They're standing there. He's sitting there. He's hurt. Blow the whistle. If the puck's in the net front still and they were hacking away at it and it goes in, I'd say fine. But as soon as the puck squirts to the corner, they got to blow it dead. They do it all the time for regular players because of player safety. The rule would state that we have to touch it. But they don't follow that rule. They never follow that rule. 2 games ago, we were in the offensive zone. One of their players was down in the slot, and we were passing around, and Cale Makar's coming downhill for a one-timer, and they blow it dead. Take away a scoring chance, what could be a possible extending of a lead, and they blow it because the player's laying there hurt in a shooting lane. So it's the same thing for the goalie. If he's hurt and he's not getting up and they can evaluate that and they're standing right there looking at it, the whistle should go. It's just that simple. It's not. Did I think it was goalie interference? No, it's not goalie interference because we bumped him in. He turned the wrong way and we bumped into him and he went into our goalie. But when the goalie's hurt, you blow the whistle. That's what happens all the time with players in every zone. And it happened in the first period with me and Dahlin. Dahlin goes down and they blow it dead because he's still down. Happened last game for us, and the game before that, and the game before that happens once a game, I bet you. And for them to just let it go and then allow the goal is insanity to me. It's a player safety thing. If they would have loaded up Dahlin for a one-timer for a 105-mile-an-hour slap shot, they're just going to let it fucking happen with our goalie down in the net? Can't do it. Can't do it. You'll blow dead.
Welcome to Ringside with Eric Dean, presented by Mile High Sports. I am your Avalanche beat writer for ColoradoHockeyNow.com, podcaster for Mile High Sports. It's Friday. It's January 3rd. It's 2025. And for the first game of the calendar year, we have a lot to talk about. The Avalanche pulled off another unbelievable comeback against the Buffalo Sabres, not only losing 3-0, but and coming back to erase that 3-goal deficit, but trailing 5-3 late, trailing 5-4 in the dying seconds, and then ultimately winning the thing in overtime, all the while dealing with the fact that you had a goalie that was injured and left the game early. There was a lot of chaos and controversy around that play that resulted in a Buffalo goal. And of course, just heard from head coach Jared Bednar. That was post-game. I want to start with Jared Bednar, and then I'll get into the game a little bit, and we'll end a little bit with Parker Kelly, who was obviously involved in that collision with Zach Benson. So starting with Bednar, I got to say, and I think I speak for the entire media room last night, that we were not expecting that kind of a reaction from Bednar. And the reality is Bednar is a very even-keeled coach. In fact, a lot of the fans that are applauding Bednar for his fire yesterday and often applaud Jared Bednar for being one of the more even keeled and respectful and you know, coaches that can stay level headed at all times. A lot of fans on Twitter and in my mentions often hate that about him. They wish that he would show a lot more fire. I personally think what he does is great, because I think when you have a moment like you did on Thursday, it means so much more coming from a guy that never does that. And Jared Bednar unleashed on the officials. And I loved everything about it. This was a guy that stood up for his team. This was a guy that stood up for his goalie, who's only been on the team for about a month. And this was a guy that wasn't going to take whatever bullshit, you know, explanation he got from the officiating. And I loved what he did. I love the fact that the Colorado Avalanche, like I said, down 3-1, down 3-2, they give up that crap goal. It's 4-2, and now they got to kill a penalty because of this protest goalie interference challenge. Ends up being 4-3. Quickly 5-3, and that's with like 3.5 minutes left, less than 4 minutes remaining. and they still don't quit. Nathan MacKinnon, Kale McCarr, Mikko Rantanen, Devon Taves, Arturi Lehkonen, Jonathan Drouin. Notice Val Nichushkin is not in the equation. He got hurt against the Winnipeg Jets. He's injured. He's not playing. But those six guys over the boards, often, after every shift, over and over and over again, played so much of that last few minutes, you know, got help from a timeout on both sides by the Avalanche and by Buffalo with 20 seconds left. And I bet you if you're Lindy Ruff, you wish you didn't call that timeout because it didn't help. They still managed to find a way to come back. They still managed to find a way to force overtime. And Devon Taves wastes very little time in OT, taking the puck away from Tage Thompson on a masterclass play and going down the ice to score on the breakaway to complete the comeback. And despite all of that, Jared Bednar still was livid. He was pissed, and understandably so. Scott Wedgwood had to be helped off the ice. You finally figured out your goaltending situation, and then you have a 19-year-old kid in Zach Benson who... I respect the kid, by the way. Like, I'm not piling on Zach Benson. I think it's a learning moment for him. But it's a 19-year-old kid who's highly skilled and highly talented. And he's a little bit of a beast. Like, he can handle his own. Goes in and scores a goal and celebrates like hell while there's a goalie writhing in pain inside his own net right behind him. It's why you saw Sam Girard do something that he doesn't often do and went after him. It's why you saw the entire, everybody on the ice just kind of get together. But then everything unfolds where, you know, Mikko Rantanen's going over to the official. Nathan MacKinnon's going over to the official. Kale McCarr, Devon Taves at one point skated over. Jared Bednar had to have a chat with TJ Luxmore, the official who didn't blow the whistle dead. And it went over and over and over again until they were getting ready to drop the puck. And then Nathan MacKinnon, who's supposed to be at center ice taking the faceoff, is out by the boards pointing at the officials or screaming at the officials and pointing at his head coach, ultimately using his superstar power leverage to say, we're challenging the damn thing. So Bednar throws the quote-unquote challenge flag, calls for a goalie interference challenge, and it was a very quick review. But you knew in that moment this was a protest. It was a giant middle finger to the officials, and Bednar did it just to send a message. Ends up in an Avalanche penalty. They quickly kill that one off. There's a little bit of a layover with the Buffalo minor penalty, then a second minor penalty. Suddenly they have a 5-on-3 power play. So Bednar post-game goes, just digs right into this thing. And you knew from the moment he started, and there was that pause, if you go back and listen to the beginning of his response, there was that pause where he smirked, and it was kind of like, oh yeah, I'm doing this. So he goes into it. The referee said it wasn't blown because we put their guy into Scott. He's obviously referring to Parker Kelly colliding with Zach Benson, who fell onto Scott Wedgwood, causing the injury. Pause. Pause. I said, I don't give a shit. He's hurt. They're standing there. He's sitting there. He's hurt. Blow the whistle. And in that moment, you knew you were going to get something golden right there from Jared Bednar. You knew something good was coming. He went on to later throw an F-bomb, as you heard when he was referring to, you know, if in a scenario where had the puck gone to the point and Dahlin just fired this 100-mile-per-hour slap shot like he can so often do, you know, is that just going to count? Like, what do you do if the goalie's just down there having to deal with that? So it was unlike anything I've seen from Bednar, but it was warranted. This was a head coach sending a message to the NHL. You've heard Jared talk about it over and over again. And it is unfortunate. Like, the Avalanche deal with injuries and it sucks. And people are constantly going to say, why does this team deal with so many injuries? Is there a little bit of like something to it that they can fix? Yes, sure, maybe. But the reality is a lot of it is just shitty luck. Like, there is nothing about what just happened to Scott Wedgwood that you can say is injury prone. Like, this is a guy that had a player fall on him. And when you're wearing all those pads and the weight of those pads, when somebody falls on your leg, it puts a lot of pressure on the ankle, the knee, the just that entire general area, the Achilles, no matter what it is. So it just kind of resulted in this very crappy situation where now you have an injured goalie, and you have a head coach who has to send a message that, like, we're not dealing with this. We deal with enough injuries as it is. And, you know, the reality is, if the officials did the right thing, if the referees did what Jared Bednar wanted to do, wanted them to do, it doesn't change the fact that Scott Wedgwood's injured. But it also doesn't put a goal on the table, a goal on the board, I should say, for the other team while your goalie's injured and there's nobody there to cover the puck and to play goalie. Like, that's just the reality. Wedgwood's down in his net and Benson scored. He's 19 years old. He's going to have a long career. He's a talented player. That's the easiest goal he's ever going to have in his career on a goalie. That's just the reality. There's no other way to put it. So you have that happen. It ends up being a goal, and Jared Bednar was livid. I loved everything about it. I loved the comparison to Matt Calvert. I love that he even said, I'm probably going to get a call from the NHL after this, but I don't care. Like, it shouldn't have happened, is what he said. So shout out to Jared Bednar. I loved everything about that. I genuinely wonder, had he just, you know, done the old school hands in the pocket approach of being a head coach behind the bench there, just hands in your pocket, shrugging, just keep playing. I wonder if he had done that had his team responded the way they did. The reality is it's early January. It's game 39 out of 82 before the playoffs. You know, it's hard for professional athletes, even NHL players, even Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, Mikko Rantanen, and even these type of level players, to channel that type of energy and anger into every single game. So if Bednar gave them a little bit of a push, which he admitted they did, and which Parker Kelly also admitted they did, and Mikko Rantanen did, and Devon Taves did, everybody agreed, then that was a great move. Update on Scott Wedgwood is still unclear. If you're listening to this, I'm recording it Friday afternoon after the Avalanche's practice. Wedgwood, Jared Bednar said, I'm guessing it's going to be week to week. And then he went on to say something along the lines of, you know, I'm hoping he can avoid the high ankle sprain, which would keep him out around 6 weeks or so. But they'll probably get an update on him later. I'm assuming Saturday, either before or after the Montreal Canadiens game, we'll either hear before from Team PR or we'll hear after from Jared Bednar himself on the status of Wedgwood. But Blackwood's going to carry the brunt of the load. Trent Miner is going to get called up. Actually, he's already been called up by the time this recording is happening. He wasn't at practice on Friday, but he'll be joining the team. He's going to play one of the games against Chicago or Minnesota. Obviously, me thinks Chicago next week in a back-to-back. So you're going to see Trent Miner make his NHL debut, the sixth goalie. And I think it's going to be game number 42, the sixth goalie to start a game for the Avalanche this season on the first game of the second half of the season. Mind-boggling. But they're still one of the best. They're rocking it. Mackenzie Blackwood looked great. Yes, he let in a goal there late to Jason Zucker. Yes, he only faced three shots, but you had a lot of confidence in him. He's been playing wonderful. So here we go. It's time for Blackwood to do his thing, Wedgwood to hopefully recover soon, and we'll be, you know, back in no time to the lumberyard or whatever the fuck they're calling themselves. But on that note, I do want to move on to the game. I love what the Avalanche did. Like, I can't say enough, like, how fortunate it is and how much we need to sit back and just pinch ourselves for what we get to watch on the ice every single day. Like, I read a stat the other day. Nathan MacKinnon led the NHL in points in the calendar year 2024 with 143 in 83 games. So one game over a full season, 143 games. Cale Makar led all defensemen with 95. Let me say that again. Cale Makar led all defensemen with 95 freaking points. 83 games. He hadn't missed a game in the calendar year. 21 goals, 74 assists, 95 points. Those are the numbers that a team that's rebuilding, that gets a number one overall draft pick, hopes to get out of their number one center and franchise player. Those are numbers that the Chicago Blackhawks want out of Connor Bedard. Those are numbers the San Jose Sharks want out of Macklin Celebrini. Those are the numbers the Avalanche are getting from the guy playing on the blue line, who's also spectacular defensively. He's already a Conn Smythe Trophy winner, has already won a Norris Trophy and a Calder Trophy, is a future Hall of Famer, is about to lead Team Canada at the Four Nations, will lead Team Canada next year at the Olympics, assuming he's healthy, and he plays with Devon Taves to make up the best pairing in the NHL. This is the guy putting up 95 points. These are the guys for the Avalanche that are playing pretty much the last 3 minutes of regulation in the entire overtime period. These are the guys for the Avalanche that are carrying the load when they need it most. You know, the first Avalanche goal, it was Cale Makar assisted by Drouin and Taves. Then you add that Ross Colton goal where he, you know, battled in the crease and as Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen was tumbling over, the puck went in and it was assisted by Sam Girard. Then you add the Mikko Rantanen power play goal assisted by MacKinnon and Mittelstadt. And then Zucker makes it 5-3. Zucker, I don't know why I call him Zucker. Jason Zucker makes it 5-3. And then it was number 7, number 8, number 29, number 27, number 62, number 96, like just over the boards, over and over and over again. Cale Makar from MacKinnon and Taves. Jonathan Drouin from MacKinnon and Rantanen. Devon Taves, unassisted, pickpockets the giant center and Tage Thompson, goes the other way and scores on the breakaway. Like, I can't say enough how epic it is to watch these guys do what they do. So from my angle, I packed up my stuff and I was starting to make my way down while the score was 4-3, thinking, maybe the Avalanche could tie it up late and make it 4-4 while I'm downstairs by the locker room, where what we get to do is like the Zamboni doors in the corners of the rink. Media can walk up one of those and just stand at the corner glass right behind one of the photographers or something and just watch the game at ice level. If you follow me on Twitter, at RunRightAir, if you saw me post a couple of videos from that angle last night. So you have over there... you have over there the ability to watch the end of the game before you go into the locker room for media availability with the players. And I packed up as it was 4-3. And as I was walking out and as I was getting ready to leave my seat, Zucker scores, it's 5-3. And I'm walking down thinking, okay, game's over. This is, you know, it was an admirable job. Now we got to talk about Scott Wedgwood, and that's kind of going to be the story. And I go downstairs, I go into the media lounge, I drop my backpack and my jacket in the media lounge, which is where you guys watch. Jared Bednar is always there speaking to us after the games. That's the media lounge. So I went and put my stuff down and I'm making the walk around the underlevel of Ball Arena. I'm doing that big loop around to get to the area where I can watch. And as I'm walking, I hear the goal horn go off. There's TVs every few feet. I look up, Cale Makar celebrating. And that was the goal that he scored a little bit less than 90 seconds later with the goalie pulled to make it a 5-4 game. So now I'm going over to that area where I can watch from the Zamboni door with a clear-cut view at the Avalanche with an opportunity to tie the game. The goalie's pulled again. They're going through it over and over and over again. Bernie shows up. He's doing his thing to rile up the crowd. Everybody's going crazy. So I took out my phone and again, check out my Twitter. I posted a video. It's pretty epic. 20 seconds remaining, Buffalo calls a timeout. Fans are into it. They're getting loud. It's getting rowdy. Even the crowd, like, they were channeling their energy into that Scott Wedgwood situation as well. It wasn't just the players. It was the audience as well. So shout out to everybody who was at that game. And Cale Makar has that opportunity and misses the net with like 15 seconds left. It goes to Rantanen, sends it back to Makar at the point, back to Rantanen, gives it to MacKinnon at the half wall. And you saw Drouin do that thing that we've seen MacKinnon and Drouin practice a billion times at Family Sports over the last season and a half, where he's in front of the crease and he does a little turn and just makes himself available all alone. No players around, right there in the slot, in the bumper position, stick up, ready for a one-timer, gets the pass, wires that baby home. The place went bonkers. 6.8 seconds left on the clock. I know they adjusted it to 8 seconds left afterward, but they went absolutely nuts. It was unbelievable to watch. And at that moment, there was a feeling that was like, the Avalanche are winning this. They're not going to do all of that and score 2 goals with the goalie pulled on the 6-on-5 attack just to lose. Again, number 7, number 8, number 27, 29, 62, and 96. They did it. They did it twice. And then it gets to overtime. MacKinnon, Drouin, and Taves are on the ice when the goal happens. And Devon Taves obviously finishes that masterclass of a game for the Avs. I caught up with Parker Kelly on Friday's practice. And by the time you're listening to this, if you go to ColoradoHockeyNow.com, there is an article available that I've already written but not yet published, but by the time you hear this, it will be up. Parker Kelly, I caught up with him one-on-one, exclusive interview to talk about, you know, his side of what had happened and trying to get an understanding of what he saw. Kelly was obviously the one that bumped into the guy that fell into Wedgwood and Zach Benson, and he had his opinion on the matter. And I don't want to get too deep into it because it is a paywall article. CHN Plus, Colorado Hockey Now Plus. 90% of our content is free content, myself and Colleen Flynn. But ever so often, we have articles that are behind the paywall, and it's, you know, there is a method to the madness, and it's because we'd like to save the exclusive content for CHN Plus. $39.99 gets you a 1-year membership. $4 per month gets you a monthly membership. If you use the promo code DEEN10, D-E-E-N, just like my last name, D as in David, E-E, N as in Nancy, DEEN10, you can get $10 off that annual subscription. Get it for $29.99 for the annual subscription to CHN Plus. This is just one of many. I wrote an article about Sam Girard. I talked to him exclusively back in November on the 7-year anniversary of the Matt Duchene trade that brought Sam Girard to Colorado. I've done other pieces with other players in a similar fashion, and there will be many more to come. I'm going to do something on Mackenzie Blackwood. Hopefully, God willing, when he's healthy again. Scott Wedgwood, I'm going to do something on him as well. The exclusive one-on-one content will be behind the paywall, but it is worth every penny. I urge you to go out and check out that article from Parker Kelly. He's got some really interesting quotes in there. He's got his own opinions on how it all unfolded. Some of them, not to, you know, give away the story. Some of them are a little different than Jared Bednar's opinions, but it is a worthy read. So check out ColoradoHockeyNow.com. Click on the story right there that talks about Parker Kelly. I believe the title of the story, the header is Parker Kelly Recounts Scott Wedgwood Injury. It is behind the paywall, DEEN10 to get $10 off an annual subscription, or you can just sign up for the monthly. It's $4.50, I believe, per month, so it's not even that expensive. It's the price of, you know, less than a latte these days. So go ahead and check that out. Otherwise, check out ColoradoHockeyNow.com for all content. Like I said, most of the time it is free content, so please do keep an eye on all that. Follow me on Twitter, at RunRightArif. Subscribe to the podcast, Ringside with Arif Dean, on Apple, on Spotify. If it is on Apple, leave a 5-star review. If it is on Spotify, leave a 5-star review. But if it is on Apple, leave that 5-star review with a little bit of a paragraph of why you love the show. I really do appreciate those. Those help me a lot. If you made it this far in the podcast, bless your pretty little heart. Let's make hockey for everyone, and we out you.